Fishing is waiting. Knowledge, luck, hard work, they play their part. But mostly, it's waiting. You wait for a full moon. You wait for the sun to rise. You wait for the wind to die down. You wait for a line to twitch. Waiting for your buddy to show up with a cooler of beer? That's fishing. Would you like to be a better fisherman? Okay, that was practice. Now all you need is some gear. POP Fishing and Marine, on Pier 38 next to Nico's. We've got it.
You're listening to Go Fish with Mike Buck on AM 690, The Fishing Answer. This segment is being brought to you by the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council at wpcouncil.org. Now, troll on in.
Well, not actually trolling on this time, but back on in. And it's time, if you were with us last week, we did part one of Fishing Civics. Part one and two. Today is part two. Josh DeMello, the fisheries analyst with the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council, once again in studio to talk about a bunch of things, including some opportunities. And by the way, we always head you to the website, wpcouncil.org. You need to check that on a regular basis, not just about fishing, but about all kinds of things to do with what's happening in the fishery which will affect you. And you can also email me here, themikebuckshow@gmail.com. If you've got something that you'd like to present, maybe you'd like to even be a guest on the show. Maybe you've learned something about the council that you want to share. We can do that. Today, among the many things that we're going to do in our Fishing Civics Lesson Part 2, we got to brag a little bit, Josh, about some of the things that are coming up that the council is involved in. And this is an opportune time, early part in the year, to talk about things that they can do in schools, scholarships that we got, and opportunities that exist, because there's lots of them.
Yeah, and so there's this feeling that a lot of the community have that they don't get involved, they don't want to get involved. It's like, it's not bothering me. And Wailua Boat Club President Ed Watamora summed it up correctly. It's the I know Kea attitude.
Yeah, I know. I've seen the shirt, and I actually like it. But the thing is, I also saw another one, and it's IKEA.
Yeah.
And I not just the store, but IKEA. I think maybe, don't you think, and we talked about this in previous shows, a lot of times what we do in fishing, in Hawaii particularly, is really sequestered into a little place that we don't tell anybody about. This is our little secret. We know how to go out and supplement our table and go catch the fish, but we're not going to tell anybody because we don't want somebody else going out there and taking them, because I can't get them for next time. That's what makes us sort of isolated sometimes.
And the bad part about that is someone's going to take it anyway.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't mean to be negative or be prophetic about it, but things are going to happen. And at some point, you need to be able to say, hey, this is where we've been fishing, or this has been our thing. And if you don't speak up early enough, you're already speaking up too late.
Yeah, and you know, that's a fact. And here's another augment to that. And I think this is extremely important, not just about Ed Watamora, but also about Roy Morioka and others that really step up time after time after time to send out email, make phone calls, and go on Facebook and say, you got to watch out, this is coming, you got to watch out, that's coming. I think what you said is really true, because the other thing is, a lot of people don't want to rat out their friends or neighbors. But in fact, with more enforcement and stuff in Doe Care and some in the DLNR, it is a time, if you see something blatantly going on, there are ways that you can report that, because otherwise people say what you said earlier, hey, what's the sense? God, you know, this guy's going to take it anyway. Why should I not take it?
If you don't say anything, you don't say anything, it's really your fault for not helping.
I think you're breaking the law too. I mean, it may not seem that way, but I know that. That's why I do a program, as you know, with Crime Stoppers. It's totally anonymous. You can also be anonymous at the DLNR. You can also be totally anonymous by giving somebody information.
Well, I ride the bus to and from work every day for the past 16 years. Yeah. And then they have that placard on the top that says, if you see something, say something.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, there's always bad things happening on the bus, but then you see all these guys sitting down. It's like, you see a girl get touched.
Yeah, yeah.
throw that guy off the bus or say, you know, leave her alone. Yeah. It's the same thing with fishing. Yeah. It's you see a guy who's using mesh that's too small and you know that's catching all the small ones, just go up, hey, brother. You know, shouldn't be using this kind of net.
However, pick and choose the way you do that, right?
Well, and be diplomatic.
Exactly,
about it.
Exactly. You know, one of the things that I did. This was in Waimanalo a long time ago. I said to the guy, I made up something. I said, hey, you know what, brother? You better be careful because the game warden's all over there this week. You know, you shouldn't be doing that. But if you get caught, it's big problems. Oh, I don't know if it worked, but the guy left, so it must have worked a little bit. But you know what I mean? It's what's good for one is good for all. If there is a rule or a law or something, you got to do something when somebody is blatantly ignoring it or breaking it.
And that's why the top two issues that come up whenever we go out to a meeting, any meeting for fisheries or natural resources, is education and outreach,
right,
and enforcement,
right.
Now we're doing the outreach, and you know, make sure that people are following those rules.
If you want to really learn a slice of this, there is a 9-point fishing ethics section on the WPCouncil.org website, and it's been honed down. It's simple. It's in a bunch of languages, and if you live by that, you'll be living what we call Pono. I said before we get into the part two of the civics, let's talk about some of the things that are coming up. Not just in marine education, but in actual maybe scholarships or internships.
So right now we don't have an internship opportunity yet.
It's coming later in the year.
We always look for students that are willing to help out. We're always looking for people that want to get involved. But the formal program, we haven't had any discussions on that yet.
But you do have, I know, coming up in February, some cutoff points for applying for help in grants. And what is some of that?
So there is this Marine Education and Training mini grant program that's run out of the National Marine Fisheries Service Pacific Islands Regional Office, and it awards $15,000 or up to $15,000 for projects that deal with marine and maritime education. So getting people to learn to be captains on a boat. There's learning about what resources are, you know, having a program, setting up a program where people can go and monitor a reef, or even developing applications on your smartphone that'll teach people how to do
it's amazing. It really is amazing.
All the education and outreach kind of stuff that we really were talking about earlier.
The other thing that I'm talking about is you may not think that the fishery holds something for you, but when you find out the number of different jobs and opportunities and vocations there are, it gets pretty big. Every year when we do the summer program with the kids and I interview them afterwards, every single one of those kids dramatically changes their mind about the fishery. Once they may think they were getting in there to be a ship boat captain, but what they really want to be is a quality control specialist, or they want to be an auction buyer, or they want to be they want to have a sushi restaurant. They want to be something based on the knowledge they get.
And so this program is part of a larger program that was put into the Magnuson-Stevens Act back in 2006. And really what it's about, it was from our senators and the Alaska senators and putting this in so that we can develop our maritime and marine fisheries opportunities out in these islands.
To me, it was interesting because what Josh was just mentioning, this was Stevens in Alaska, Republican, and Inouye in Hawaii, Democrat. Ted Stevens and Dan Inouye got a lot of things accomplished for us in our respective areas because of that.
And it really showed the true value of bipartisanship.
Yeah, and you know, there are issues in front of the legislature this year, which you're going to be hearing about, some through this program on the fishery, but others in just regular stuff, that when you take a look at something, it just doesn't have a D or an R or a libertarian or a green or anything next to it. It's just plain common sense. Either you do this because it makes a lot of sense, or you don't do that because it doesn't make sense.
And that's what we talked about last week, being involved and letting them know, which makes sense.
But I still think that maybe going back on what we were doing a little bit last week, if you don't mind, is explain the different types of things there are. Because not everything is a Senate bill or a House bill. Not everything is, you know, you can't get your congressman or your senator or your state rep or your state senator to do something that's got something to do with, say, DLNR rules.
Right. So there's more than just the those law opportunities for, with senators and congressmen that you can get involved with. There's also every day there's the Federal Register that comes out on the federal side that says the federal government is going to be doing these things. So we're asking you for comments on what you think.
Now.
Right. Yeah, and so that's published in the Federal Register. You can find that at federalregister.gov.
Okay.
And so if you go there, you can even sign up for a daily digest.
I was going to say, what I did, and you told me about this, and I did this a long time ago, is I took a couple of the keywords that I was interested in and told them. And now there was sometimes 2 o'clock in the morning, I hear this ding, and there's something that they thought, hey, you might be interested in. It's very valuable.
It's an easy way to track it, and you can always just delete it. You don't. You look at it and delete it. It doesn't matter. But then there's also this section of the federal government websites called regulations.gov.
Mm-hmm.
So when something is being considered for regulation
in any field, right?
In any
they're
field,
all there. Right.
So we've looked at the fisheries ones, but there's stuff for Native Hawaiian sovereignty stuff that was talked about with the Department of Interior a few years ago, 1970 or whatever. That update a few years ago, that was in regulations.gov as well. So if you go to that site, it creates this whole document folder where you can get all the background information. Yeah. You can provide comments. You can see everybody else's comments and provide your testimony, as it were.
Yeah, that's why I asked Josh if he ever changed his mind, and I have, based on different information. But what I think is really important is that this lets people get out in front of stuff. We keep reiterating it's too late when the baby's second set of teeth are already coming and teach them about hygiene. We just have to really make ourselves into this. And this is the time of the year, isn't it, that these all things happen. There's a lot of stuff happening in 2018 that people better be aware of, because their lives are going to change.
And I think it's really timely because so just this past week was the opening of the legislature.
Yeah.
And going forward, the Congress is just moving forward. Their winter break is over, and they're going to start ramping up as the year goes on.
Okay, so the different way these things happen, you've already seen. It usually comes from somebody at some level noticing something either too restrictive or not restrictive at all. So most of these things come either to reduce something or create something, right?
Yes, in most cases.
Yeah,
yes.
And so there is where you can go to wpcouncil.org and do a little fishing. On the top of the there's a banner. And you can take a look at the different categories that interest you, because if you hear something on the street, which is what I do every time, that's why I ask Josh these kinds of questions. Somebody will say something to me, and I'll say, all right, isn't there a bill that's in committee right now? In other words, if it goes through the committee without somebody's input, the committee is going to do what they think is right. You know, they're going to do it. Hey, nobody said anything against this. Looks good to me. Let's do it.
And so your representatives are voted in to make the best decision for your community. And not necessarily, I mean, you like to think that they're there to represent what you say. So everybody, whatever your community says, that's what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. But really, they're there to do what's in the best interest for your community. Yeah.
One thing that I think, we always say, well, in Hawaii, we're different. And, because the council is the district, the thousands of miles that this branch of the council does, the Western Pacific branch does, we are different. And so therefore somebody will see a law that's in Delaware and think they don't even look at it. But you do, and I do now, because I think, hey, you know what? This is just like what they're talking about at Papahanaumoku, or just like we're talking about Hyena. The problems are the same, but just the way you'd solve them or deal with them are different.
And sometimes it's even more dangerous, because that bill in Delaware might get amended and say Delaware and Hawaii.
Yeah.
Delaware and Samoa.
Yeah. And sometimes that works, because let's let people know the reality of it is, when a committee or a section or a senator or a congressperson wants something to happen, they need to garner support. And sometimes garnering that support means that you have to compromise a little bit what you wanted to get, you know, the big picture, or add in something that you had no thought about. Like you mentioned last week, hey, all of a sudden you're looking at this thing of the size of Opelo, and somebody says, yeah, there's going to be a boat ramp at Mililii.
And that's why for me, yeah, it's what I've learned, if I've learned anything over the past 16 years working for the council, it's really is politics drives a lot of it, and politics is the game that we don't know how to play.
There's no training for that, is there, really?
No, there isn't. And so you have all these guys playing this game, and we're in the game, but we just don't know how to play it.
Yeah.
So one of the things with this fishing civics segments that we wanted to talk about was how do we get to roll the dice in the game.
Yeah.
Where can we move our token on the game?
Yeah, and when to reach in for the dice. You know,
right.
If you stand around the table at Vegas and don't get it involved, you're never going to get the dice. You're going to be just watching. You know, you're going to be watching from the outside. But what I think, and that's a great analogy, and I know that there are some specific things this year that we're going to be calling your attention to in future segments of the program. But, you know, basically, you really just sort of need to know how these rules or laws are made. And once again, getting involved with the council, either coming to a Fisher's Forum or certainly getting online and looking at wpcouncil.org. For instance, you mentioned before, okay, now we're in session. What is Congress doing right now?
Congress is looking at a lot of bills, and there's a bunch that are really focused on the fisheries in the United States, and some that are really focused on things that would affect especially places like Hawaii. So there's the Senate Bill 396, which is looking at amending the Billfish Conservation and Management Act. And in that original act, it allows Hawaii to send billfish to the mainland.
Yep.
And nowhere else can you do that.
Yeah, nowhere else in the country can you do that.
Right. So only in our region.
Now, wait a minute. That creates, number one, it creates an opportunity, okay? But number two, it also creates scrutiny, because you're going to say, all right, you're taking all of this species and you're selling it over there. How much of the stock is being depleted? Doesn't science show that some of these species can be fished that way sustainably?
Well, and that's the whole crux of it, is that the species in our region is sustainable. So we're catching at a rate where it's not affecting the population.
That's really key.
And in other parts of the country, that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't take their billfish like we can. And so they think that, well, ours is in trouble. You guys shouldn't be
yours
sending either.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and I think part of it is, well, look at that. The Pacific people have a monopoly on sending billfish to the continental United States. And some people just don't like that.
You know, I can tell you something, that, and this is a fact. I can remember back when the Eastern Seaboard fishery, the stored fishery, started to collapse because of overfishing. And they were taking a lot of fish out of there. I know that now there's evidence to suggest that they didn't take as many as they thought. But the actual size of the fish went from, say, 400 to 600 pounds all the way down to about 200 or even 100 pounds. And a lot of those boats ended up in the Pacific, where it's not the same problem. But the fish don't get as big either, do they? The swordfish.
Yeah, and they're fishing a little bit differently because they're, you know, it's really weather dependent. Mm-hmm. And they can only fish in certain
rough
areas.
Rough area, man. It gets pretty, you know, victory at sea where these guys get to the Shitomi.
But they also have things like set limits, and they have turtle
the interactions.
Quotas, right? There's so many turtles in the Pacific that they're limited on the amount of interactions they can have. So there's a bunch of different things that are managing it.
Just out of curiosity, certainly off subject a little bit, there's anecdotally a lot of people in Hawaii that want to start capturing the honu, the green sea turtle again. Because you go swimming or you go surfing and you see plenty. And they were pretty much gone for a while. Maybe it was cyclical in nature. Maybe it wasn't from overfishing. They were just kind of hard to find. But now they seem to be everywhere. And so there's a lot of people saying, okay, if you can't go buy it in the market, can we get those tags back where we can at least eat it? Will there be anything coming up on the green sea turtle this year?
Probably not this year. Yeah. I mean, even when I was a kid back in the 80s, you never saw a turtle at the beach.
Yeah.
Now, every time you go to the beach, I'm sure you see a turtle somewhere.
And it's wonderful.
Poking its head out.
Yeah. But, you know, I can tell, we've been, when we talk about at the council, we talk about Asuka, for instance, in the endangered species. people that are in that category don't mean they're not signing away forever the fact that we can't look at this thing. What they're looking at is what makes it endangered, when is it not endangered, and then when does it become to a point where we can actually start, you know, culling some of it, eating some of it.
And I think some of the problems in protected species, especially because they're charismatic megafauna that, you know, turtles cry when the sand gets in the eye and everything. People really love that kind of stuff. You know, they don't like snakes, but they love turtles.
There's no moratorium on snakes. You can take the snakes, you know, but you're right. And I guess it's just like venison. You know, I mean, some places you don't want to go shoot Bambi, for heaven's sake.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But what I'm getting at is that this has been actually coming, brewing forward a little bit, right? For the last, say, 6, 8, 10 years, people started looking at, okay, did we do the right thing? We put the big kapu on the turtle, and now they're back. Is it time to start thinking the other way again?
And that's why I mentioned that it's a charismatic animal, because now, because it's been so incorporated into even into the local culture, you know, Honu stickers and
everywhere.
Everything.
Yeah.
How do you allow people to take it?
Yeah.
So really, you're being overly precautious. And so now the thing is climate change. Yeah. What if climate change wipes out all those beaches at those atolls? Where are those turtles going to do?
Where they're going to breed?
Lay their eggs in the water?
Yeah.
We don't think so. I think turtles have been around for so long that they'll figure out, oh, maybe my home's gone. I need to go lay my eggs on another beach.
You know, in that you brought that up, and we have to go farther afield, because we know right now that there's a tremendous amount of stuff happening on the North Shore. I mean, you know, there's climate change to the max. I mean, we're seeing, you know, really things change. But in actual fact, it's just the world being the world, right? I mean, you know, you can't legislate somebody their front yard back if their front yard is gone. But isn't that also indicative of, there's a lot of people in the Hawaiian community that are saying, you know what, you guys, you better make sure you take care of these shorelines, because we don't want all of that stuff coming and getting into our refrigerator. We don't want all of that dirt and all of those rocks to come into the ocean.
And that's the hard part, is because you're balancing the human need for that area and people's houses versus the what's naturally occurring in the environment. Yeah. I mean, you put up walls against the water, it's going to get undercut and fall down eventually. But the earth just wants to reclaim that land.
Here he comes, right?
Our island is sinking, and whether it's going faster or slower, that's what the science is looking at.
Yeah, but I got to laugh, because people will tell me that hear us on the show or other things sometimes that, hey, you know, you guys are scaring us. It's not scaring. I mean, it's happening. It may not happen in my lifetime, but in maybe my great-grandson or great-great-granddaughter down the road someday might want to say, wow, we got to go look at Papa's pictures. There used to be a beach over here.
And that's funny, because I have some pictures from when I was younger that I took that I look back and go, wow, look how different it is. So you look at Waikiki Beach by the Kapahulu groin. Mm-hmm. How many people know that there was a little wall that was perpendicular to the Kapahulu groin.
Right.
Now it's just sand from the volleyball pit all the way down to the ocean.
It's truly amazing. And growing up, as I did, off the Outrigger Canoe Club, which is now the Outrigger Hotel, Outrigger Canoe Club's further down, I have a picture of our whole family was taken at Christmas time, and we wanted everybody to be in a canoe for a Christmas picture to send everybody, right? There were 2 40-foot canoes end-to-end on the beach, and there was space behind it to where the Outrigger Hotel is now. That was like 80 feet, and now it's like 10 feet. You know, the same beach.
Right.
And I have a picture of our family sitting in a canoe 70, 80 feet from the building, you know, and which is gone now. And remember the song is, you don't know what you got till you lose it? Yeah. You just be appreciative of what we got and thank Mama Nature for giving us the use of this, and when she takes it back, c'est la vie.
And making sure that we record that in our history, so that in the future, if the cycle changes again and the sand comes back and then what happens down the road, make sure that we don't build on that area.
Okay, gang, what we're trying to do here is wind up this two-part session on civics. And I think you've seen a glimpse of some of the anecdotal stuff we're talking about, but the mechanics is what's important right now. And when to find out, I want you, Josh, to let people know again, they ought to start doing this on a regular basis right now. The council's website, wpcouncil.org, is set up to feed you everything you need to know. So now, Josh told you a while ago about the Federal Registry and regulations.gov. That's for stuff that's happening nationally. But what about stuff that's happening locally? And you can go to the local website and keyword search, or you can go to the WPCouncil.org website.
Right. Yeah. And so there's a bunch of different places. Everywhere has their own websites, which to me is amazing because I'm not even 40 yet, and just that technological leap from having to walk your letter down to your congressman.
It's way, way different. I mean, it's user friendly, but almost to a point where people, I'll click the thing that Josh sent me, and I'll just say, hey, put my name on it. If you be just a little bit creative, put a couple of words of your own in, and also go down. If there's a meeting or a hearing, instead of just zing them something, go out of your way to go down there and say, I fish or I eat.
And they use digital screeners or computers to see if it's the same. So if you change it enough, you know, it counts as another comment.
I actually liked it in the very beginning, but it became so overused. It's like, I hate to say this because I don't want to get anybody out in the audience mad at me, but when you send an email to somebody and you send it to a plenty of people, you got to put them as BCC, because if you put them as CC and they hit reply all, you get buried. That happens to me every day here. I'm sure it happens to you guys too.
Oh yeah, even just in the office.
Yeah,
but I'm not sure how many legislators or congressmen actually check their email or if they have their staff check it. Hopefully, you get a response from them.
You actually do. I do a regular thing with Tulsi Gabbard, with Colleen Hanabusa, and others, and they do have staff because they expect this is going to be wild. But the staff sort of separates out the stuff and says, hey, you know what, Congresswoman, we got 40 comments on this. You want to look at them? And they always do.
And one of the points of providing testimony is to make sure that it's including something that the legislator or congressperson is going to pick up and go, oh, this is different. All of these say the same thing, but exactly, this is different, and I can use this.
Yeah, and you know, since what Josh was talking about, the technology that's just rapidly growing, we're saving time in other areas. So rather than do a cut and paste, you do something a little bit on your own is important. But more importantly than that is you need to keep coming back to the WPCouncil.org website, because I think you have a way of raising a flag on saying when something is important. And particularly when you've done it, and I've seen it there myself, when there's a deadline for a response. Because if you respond after the deadline, thanks a lot, but it's not going to do anybody any good.
Right. Yeah. So that when you're late to the party, you don't even get in. And there's not just Congress, not just legislature, but the council itself has a bunch of different meetings. We have our council meetings three times a year. Those are all opportunities to provide comments and to come to the meetings and testify.
The next one, I think, is in March.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's going to be the big one. And that, I think that one's on Oahu.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good. We'll start doing the Save Your Dates like in the next week or two. But in the meantime, don't forget that we have an agenda that we're trying to do with you. Today's takeaway that you should be looking, what is 396? What is S-396?
That's the Billfish Act.
Yeah, and the Billfish Act is the one that you talked about that will allow fishermen in Hawaii to market their billfish.
Well, actually, it's to stop that.
Mm-hmm.
That provision that's already in there.
Which we don't like. You know?
Right.
but that's what I'm getting at. I want to make sure that it doesn't say, oops, I missed that. Because, you know, we have that old expression, that local expression, you know, you snooze, you lose. And it's very, very true. That's why I want to invite everybody, once we know the dates and stuff, to put aside in your calendar. And then there's another thing. We mentioned this, you mentioned this earlier. We have so many ways that we can remind ourselves stuff now, right? I mean, my phone has a calendar on it that's more complete than anything. It tells me every day when I just turn the phone on, it says, you have a doctor's appointment on the 15th of February. It tells you, you know, so there's no excuse to miss this stuff, is there?
Yeah. And you know, we just getting involved will lead to other things like taking advantage of the opportunities that come up and things like the Marine Education Training Program that's due on February 21st. It's all part of the same idea of getting involved.
And one of the things that you say, you know, when somebody says they're not listening, I beg to differ, because in the last several council meetings, there's been representations from the nation's capital. There's been representatives from other places. There's been scientists. I mean, even that's a learning experience for many of us, just to see who these people are and that they actually we'll sit through one of the meetings or one of the fishers forums to see what people are thinking about.
And we'd hope that they'd continue to come to the meetings and make it a priority, especially for the fishing community to be a priority for whatever legislative actions that they plan on taking.
And one thing that I can that I can preface and warn you about is when the council has a meeting and blank 100 people show up, when they send that notice off to what we're talking about, the movers and the shakers, and they say, wow, I can't believe he's got that many, because isn't it true sometimes, even in big states, there'll be some obscure meeting and three people will be there. And then some big bill will get signed based on, you know, a half a dozen votes.
And you know, the more heads in the room, the more they feel like, hey, those are all our voters. If I'm there and I'm taking them seriously, then when it comes time to send me back to Washington or to put me back at downtown Honolulu, especially this year, it's one of those years.
And by the way, here's the other side of that. In the local legislative session, which is also, like Josh was saying, on right now, it starts out, I think, at around 3,000 bills get introduced, 3,000. And it gets very, very quickly whittled down to about 300. And then those 300, and that's even a lot. But, I mean, if you can imagine, that's what's happening here in Hawaii. Can you imagine what's happening nationally all over the place? And sometimes how these bills and things that we're talking about get kind of lost in the shuffle, because there's a lot of other things that these legislators are looking at. They're not all sitting down there about the Magnuson Act. They got all kinds of things on their minds.
And it's important to know how the system works, because this year is the second year of the biennial, which means you have 2 years to pass the bill, basically. Just because it didn't get passed last year doesn't mean it's dead.
Yeah.
So something that you really didn't like last year might show its face again this year.
And in some respects, it's sort of like the election cycle, okay? This is 2018. It's a mid-session. But at least you know that no matter who's in office, they got to dance for your dollar. I mean, they got to show you something. So that's why it's important to CC as many people as you can. And then there's another thing. I think that every single one of us has friends on our email list that maybe they're out of the loop because they're quiet. If you include them all of a sudden, if you say, hey, I thought you might like to look at this, pretty easy. You don't even have to call them and say, hey, Josh, I see this thing on the turtles. What's going on?
And everybody belongs to those kind of groups you know, send it out to all your friends.
Yeah.
And maybe one will take up your mantle and provide testimony. But one is better than none you didn't send it out.
And that's why things like Facebook, like you don't want to put it on Facebook. We're in Tokyo having a great time. We're not going to be home for a couple of weeks. and nobody's staying in our house. And, you know, anyway, you got to be careful what you put there. But you also got to be careful that you fail to put stuff there. Use that. It's a great vehicle.
Right. Yeah. Because you might only have 400 friends, but they might have 400 friends. Just, you know, affecting one person is should be at least your goal for the year.
I like the term viral, when something goes viral. When you create something that thousands of people are interested in, and I think that that's what we're doing here. So once again, you go to wpcouncil.org. Between now and our next get-together, I think that we're going to start being able to give people some specific things. Right now, we're talking specifically about Senate Bill 396, the Marlin Bill. But we'll be able to pass along things, and then you use that as a keyword. You go to, you know, a Federal Register, or you go to regulations.gov, and there's a place to put that. You get all you need right away.
And what I usually use is phishing. Just go into the keywords, phishing.
And there's going to be a lot. But you know what? You don't have to open every one of them. If you see on the corner of one that, I don't know about that one.
Well, if you look at nationally, you have some things that don't pertain to you.
Yeah, the Pelican Bill from Maryland might be of interest. Right. But there's a lot of stuff. It says Hawaii, or it says tuna. You better take a look at it. Okay. And if you have something you want to hear on the program, particularly in this segment brought to you by the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council, drop us a line. You can go online to wpcouncil.org and get info, post a comment, and we'll talk about it on the show. Or you can drop me a line here, themikebuckshow@gmail.com. Hey, thanks for being a part of Go Fish. Go fish! Catch some fish and eat them and share them with your friends and neighbors. See you next time. Aloha.